Here's another reconstruction of Avebury with both the north and south circle redone. You may be able to pick that one up a little sharper, Joe and John back there on your visual guide. That's the way it was laid out. In a perfect circle with two little inner perfect circles. That's the design of those original stones. Why? That's the question. Excavations at Avebury, I mean, they've been digging there. They've got sections and fossils and silting. And here's one of the digs going on in process many years ago. So finally, some of the Englishmen started getting interested. Maybe there's another picture here I want to show you. Well, let me tell you a few things. You can identify certain kinds of artifacts and pottery with a certain time in Egypt. Then the digs here at Avebury, they have found pottery that is identically tied to a pyramid dating time in Egypt, and it is Egyptian pottery. Here's some more of the stones in color with the ranch house behind to give you some perspective. On the right side of your screen will be the ranch house. If they can sort of zoom into that a bit. And you'll again get the perspective of these giant stones of Avebury. I'm going to let you in on a couple more clues. As you know, the pyramid inch and the sacred cubit only shows up in the pyramid, in the biblical dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant, and in Britain. And it is not Egyptian in origin, because the Egyptians have a what's called a profane cubit and a profane inch, which is the basis of all their measurements in the secular activities of Egypt. Only in the pyramid do we find the dimension that is called the sacred cubit and the sacred inch, because it is identical to the dimension of the Ark of the Covenant. And there's only one other place in the world it crops out again. That's in Britain. And in the measurements of Avebury and Stonehenge. Here's another picture, the last one I'll show you right now, which sort of puts these rocks in perspective. Places for the cows to scratch their hide, and they just sort of get in the way of the tractors on this marvelous ranch. See the stones? Can you sort of pick the stones and separate them from the cows? You get a little perspective. These are the smaller stones, but you get to see the perspective in relationship to a cow. As the circle, this is the inner circle of one of the two circles at Avebury. Well, that's Avebury. Let me keep reading. Am I boring you? Avebury Circle on the Wiltshire Downs is before the largest and most ancient of the stone circles in Britain. It is of gigantic dimensions and consists of three separate circles, two separate smaller circles within a larger one, the small ones having diameters of 325 feet and 300 feet respectively. That's each of the small circles are a little more than the length of a football field in diameter, while the larger one has a diameter of 1,260 feet. More than four football fields across. So that Avebury Circle is about the size of 3 to 4 Dodger Stadiums. The circles were composed of large unhewn sarsens, which is a direct cognate of the Phoenician word for rock. Now, who were the Phoenicians? I've asked that question before, haven't I? The only reason I teach is because I'm going to begin a series on Genesis. We're also in the business of proving the veracity of God's Word and the control by God's Word of this universe. Don't ever forget, that's why I'm teaching. The circles were composed of large unhewn sarsens, a Phoenician word for rock, weighing from 70 to 80 tons each. Only a few of them are left. The rest were broken up in the 18th century by blowing them up, dynamiting them to get them out of the way. Just like the Los Angeles, they're going to tear down a church, downtown Los Angeles, or ruin the grand old Derby restaurant or whatever it is, Brown Derby. Bless its heart. Only a few of these rocks are left. Broken pieces, after they dynamited them, were used by neighboring farmers for building purposes. The only thing left intact about this once magnificent structure is an earth wall 44 feet in high and a mile in circumference. No other circle in the world can compare with it in size and construction except one. There's one other. You don't know where it is? Huh? You don't want to know? No, you're wrong. I'm going to tell you. Except one near Darab in Persia, of all places. And that one was observed by Sir William Owsley, one-time British minister to Persia. Now, here is another of the many missing links that connects the early inhabitants of the British Isles with the people of Asia, as other links tie to Egypt. A second connecting link is found in the highlands of Tibet in Central Asia. Now, Noah ended up on Crete. I've hinted at that. Where did the ark come down? It didn't come down on Ararat, the mountain in southern Turkey. Where did it come down? You don't go from the east to the plain of Shinar if you're coming from the area of Ararat Mountain in southern Turkey. Now, there's another connecting link. And why am I tying this to Britain? You'll see. Second connecting link we find in the highlands of Tibet in Central Asia, where at Doring, which means the lone stone. How many of you know the word Tibet etymologically is the same word as the Hebrew word ark? You didn't know that? I told you that? I know I told you. The question is, from any teacher, is do his students know when he tells them something? The Dole ring, which means the lone stone. Told you that too, just did. Professor G.N. Rolich found an alignment at Dole ring in Central Asia, Tibet, similar to that of Karnak in Brittany. Now, alignments are these stones standing erect in a straight line. On page 415 of his Trails to Inmost Asia, he says, quote, "The megalithic monuments of Doring, situated some 30 miles south of the Great Salt Lake of Pangong Chocha, date back to the pre-Buddhistic period of Tibetan history." There's a pronunciation guide here. I did pretty good on that one, except I didn't get the tones. I told you also about my missionary friend who was learning Chinese. He was a missionary in China. Lost his dog. Didn't I tell you that? He went all over town, tried to find his dog. And everywhere he went said, "My dog, where is it?" And all the little kids, in the way they'd laugh at him. He didn't know why they thought it was so funny. He couldn't find his dog. But in Chinese, where he was, the same word for dog, if you change the tone, means nose. And he was saying, "My nose, where is it?" What an impact this messenger of the Savior made, going around town saying to all the kids, "My nose, where is it?" Never have to worry about him picking his nose. He couldn't find it. Got to wake you up. It's 10:15 now. I throw that in every night to keep my mother and dad proud of me. I'm having a good time tonight, whether anybody else says or not. Told you I was going to do what I wanted about 30 minutes ago. These date back to the pre-Buddhistic period of Tibetan history. They consist of important alignments of 18 rows of erect stone slabs. Each of these alignments was drawn from east to west, having at its western extremity a cromlech, or stone circle, consisting of several minhurs, standing erect stones, arranged more or less in a circle. The minhurs are vertically planted with a crude stone table or altar in front of them. It was evidently a sanctuary of some primitive cult, as is the professor writing. But what? Its age and use. If one compares the famous megalithic monuments of Karnak in Brittany to the discovered megaliths of Tibet, he is at once struck by the remarkable similarity of the two sets of monuments. The Karnak alignments are situated from east to west and have at their western extremity a cromlech, or circle of stones. The Dough Ring monuments in Brittany, halfway across the world, have precisely the same arrangement. End of his quote. From Avebury in England to Dayrab in Persia, from Karnak in Brittany to Doring in Tibet, are thousands of miles. Yet the similarity of the monuments show that they were erected by one and the same people and for a special purpose. The first ray of light on the identity of the people who erected Avebury Circle is gained from the name of Avebury, which E.O. Gordon states in his Prehistoric London, and accurately I might say, is derived from the word blank. Now, the name of blank was the name given by the blank of blank to the blank when they blanked the blank after the blank, and that word is the ancient form of blank, as we shall see when I teach on this a little further. I just want you to know I haven't lost the ability to frustrate you. If you want me to go any further, I might tonight. Now, don't ask me what this book is, and I'll tell you yet. I want to know if you're interested in this subject, or whether you want me to just drop it. I know I ain't going to pick it up, but I may leave it alone. I ain't going to drop it, not these rocks. Are you interested in this or not? I'm not going to keep going for another 30 minutes. I've done what I wanted to do now for a few minutes just to sort of bait you into 1983. We won't stop teaching the other things we're teaching. They all tie together. That's the whole point. And you that are new have not heard my speeches on my theory of learning, which isn't mine. I accept the theory of field theory or gestalt learning theory, that as you catch the mass of the whole, an insight gives you truth. Error has come about from piecemeal specialties of knowledge, attacking the Word of God. But when you begin to paint with a broad stroke, ancient history and these ancient peoples, you suddenly begin to find out that only with God's Word can you make sense of it all. And fantastically enough, to use a word I don't use very often, all truth ends up confirming God's Word. And instead of man evolving from prehistoric savages to a high civilization of Greek and Roman cultures, man prior to the flood and immediately following the flood was way ahead of where man degenerated to, and God's redemptive purposes and God's choice of an oracle people was God's plan to send the light to lead His degenerated, lost people back again to the light. And instead of man evolving from ignorance and savagery in an ever-progressing social evolution, man started out better than he became and has never yet gotten back to as good as he was, except the new creation in Christ Jesus. And it is the truth of God's Word and the ability of God's Word to be confirmed when you open your mind to the truth that is in Christ and in His revelation. That's the concern of my teaching on these things. But they're interesting anyway. They're interesting anyway. Now, if you want me to go on, you call me. I came here feeling miserable tonight. Torturing you has made me feel better by the moment. Now, if you've enjoyed it, will you get on the phone and talk to me? Well, Quintus says, have you heard about the pyramid shapes under the ocean picked up with sonar in the Bermuda Triangle? Yeah, I've heard of Case's prophecies about Atlantis there, too. When will you get back to the New Church, New Testament or early Christian church? In a few days. When will you continue on the Holy Blood, Holy Grail? Saturday night's live when I'm live. Tarzana, do you know a Stonehenge-type structure was found in Vermont? Yes. You know about America B.C., the book? Yeah, I got 4 copies of it. Baldwin Park, keep going. I'm interested. I'd like to know the connection. Can he comment on the rocks on Easter Island? They're strange, too. Los Angeles, I'm trying to study for a physics exam here at USC. If you don't finish talking about Stonehenge, I'll never pass this test. You just flunked. And always like these kind. Here's New King's House. It hasn't got fully adjusted to me yet. Huntington Beach. Can you please tell how the ark didn't land on Ararat when Genesis says it did? Well, the word Ararat is a transliteration of the original word that means highest mountain or highest point. They named the current Mount Ararat in Turkey Ararat because it was the highest mountain in that area. You go up in Butte County, they'd call the Sutter Buttes Ararat. In fact, over here in Eagle Rock, if they don't look and lift their head too high, Eagle Rock is Ararat. Ararat is a word that means the highest mountain or highest point. None of the people that live around Mount Ararat in the original, trace back the etymology of the tribes, ever called it by that name. So when Genesis says it landed on Ararat, what Genesis says, it landed on the highest mountain. Then because years later after the King James, or when the King James is being written, somebody decides to put the name Ararat on that high mountain in Turkey, then everybody says that's where Noah's Ark landed, and they fly over and see something that looks like an ark. They ain't going to find Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat in Turkey. And Genesis doesn't say it landed on Mount Ararat in Turkey. It says it landed on the highest mountain. Middleton, Connecticut says there's got to be something unscriptural about dangling the way you do it. Middletown, Connecticut says, did you realize that this coming Friday is the anniversary of when you first introduced us to the pyramid. I thought it to be my Christian duty to remind you in case you wanted to celebrate by teaching some about it. I'm going to replay that tape Friday night. I guess, considering the festival tonight, it's after the family hour, I can read you this one. So help me, it's from Alhambra. In Japan is what the first word says. It says, in Japan, one of my father's friends was showing off his ability to speak Japanese. He asked the waiter for a check in the restaurant. He used the wrong word and was asking for an enema. And with that, I'll see you tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. You better be watching, is all I got to say.